All right, beautifully done. All beautifully done. That's a great, great thought, isn't it? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That's the way it is for the child of God. Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to be finishing another little series I've been on for a while tonight on the word study of He is Able. It's been a great study. I've enjoyed every moment of it. And we come to the last two points of those precious words. He is able. God is able. I'm glad our God's able, aren't you? Praise His holy name. It makes no difference what it is that you need. He's able to provide it. He's able tonight, and I'm so glad He is. Hebrews chapter 7, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. Let's pray together, and I'm going to bring you up to date to where we are, and then we'll read and get launched into it, okay? Our Father, we love You tonight, and thank You for Your goodness to us. I pray that You help us to be clean before You. Lord, I pray, You know my heart, I want to be clean, I really do. And I pray tonight that You'll impress on our hearts exactly what Your word is saying. And Lord, I pray that You'll deliver the message to these people that You've delivered to me first. May You speak to us, encourage us, guide us, and direct us. And bind Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the characteristics or qualities or attributes of our God are all wonderful. As a matter of fact, there's no way you can accurately describe any of His attributes. And may I say to you that be very careful that you don't exalt one attribute another. Be careful that you don't exalt one attribute above another. And what I'm saying is our God is sovereign, no doubt about it. But you can't exalt His sovereignty above His love. And you can't exalt His love above His justice, His grace, His mercy. All these attributes are wonderful attributes. And one of these great attributes that we're looking at, and we've been looking at for a long time now, is on the attribute of His ability. He is able. And in this word study that we did, we've looked at several things. Let me just mention them and go on. Number one, we saw in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 that He's able to give thee much more than this. Number two, we saw in Daniel chapter 3 that He's able to deliver us. The third point that we saw in this was in Daniel chapter 4, He's able to abase the proud. The fourth thing is Matthew chapter 10, He's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Luke chapter 3, we notice that He's able of these stones to raise up children. In Romans chapter 4, we saw that He's able to perform all of His promises. In Romans chapter 11, we saw that He's able to graft them in again. In Romans chapter 14, we saw that He's able to make Him stand. In 2 Corinthians 9, we saw He's able to make all grace abound towards you. In Ephesians chapter 3, we saw that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or that we think. In Philippians 3, we saw that He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. In 2 Timothy 1, we saw He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. The last point we've noticed together is in Hebrews chapter 2. He's able to succor or help or relieve or aid them that are tempted. Now we come to Hebrews chapter number 7. And we notice the 14th thing in the Word of God that this phrase is used in. He is able. God is able, or some derivative of it. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. The Word of God says this. Now, notice it. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore, here it is, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the 14th thing is he's able to save them to the uttermost. Now this is a powerful thought, and I pray that God will give me the words to accurately describe this. Because when you really latch on to what he's saying here, it might cause you who don't shout to shout a little while. Now I'm telling you, he is able to save them, but them are his children. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Now what's this mean? The word uttermost means completely. It means perfectly.
It means utterly. In other words, it carries the idea that those he saves, he will save them in all intents, all degrees, all purposes. He will save them in and through all time, in and through all places, in and through all circumstances. He will save them from all guilt, all power, all root of evil, and all the consequences of sin. Now, I'm telling you, that right there ought to make you do a little bit of wiggle in your seat or something. What I'm saying is he's saying those he saves them completely from sin and anything in its way. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 38:17, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. This doesn't mean simply forever, but what it means is that he has the power to save them so that their salvation shall be complete. He doesn't abandon the work midway through. He doesn't begin a work which he's not able to finish. He can aid us as long as we need anything done for our salvation. He can save all who will entrust their salvation to his hands. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The word of God tells us in the book of John, you don't need to turn to it, but in John chapter number 6, verse number 37, here's what it says. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense now, everlasting life. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The bottom line, what God is saying here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, in that he's able to save them to the uttermost, he's saying he can save anybody who comes to him completely, perfectly, and eternally. And I'm telling you, that is the power of our God. This is based upon him. If you'll notice in context here, look on in verse number 25, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, what that means, now listen to me here, these old sins, I'm talking about the sin that you were saved from, they will never rise again. They will never condemn the child of God. Why? Because the word of God tells us in Hebrews 9:24, it says Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ, to use a legal term if you will, is ever, now listen to me here, he is ever appearing in the heavenly courtroom on behalf of them that believe in him. There's not a year, there's not a month, there's not a day, there's not an hour, there's not a minute, but there is one, capital O, living in the presence of God to make an appearance there on behalf of all the saints. In other words, Christ is appearing before his Father on behalf of the men, the women, the boys and girls that believe in him. His blood and his sacrifice are ever in God's sight here. His work, his death, his intercession are always sounding in the ears of God the Father. Now, I'm telling you something, folks. That's enough to shout about right there. I'm telling you, the Word of God says, because he lives, we have assurance that our sins are gone. You'll never see them again. You'll never be condemned from them again. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 5. Again, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake. But in Romans chapter 5, verse number 9, the word of God says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. John 14, 19, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. There's a story in ancient history that may help to illustrate this truth, that he's able to save him to the uttermost, and it's on the basis of his shed blood, and he's standing before his Father pleading on our behalf. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. God the Father's not going to turn down God the Son. Amen. And he's living to make intercession for you and I. In this story, there is one who is put on trial for a capital charge in Athens. This happened shortly after the great battle of Marathon. Now, in that famous battle, the Athenians had preserved by their valor liberty for their little state against the mighty host of the Persians. Now, among those who had distinguished themselves greatly, the brother of the prisoner, in other words, the one who was standing trial at this time, this was after that battle, and this brother is standing trial, the other brother was sorely wounded in this fight, helping the Athenians, you understand. The man was put up in his trial. The evidence against him was strong and unanswerable. In other words, this other brother who didn't fight in the war, he's standing trial, and the evidence is strong and unanswerable. There seemed to be no chance of the prisoner escaping condemnation. And suddenly there came forward one who asked to be heard on his behalf. And who was it? Well, you guessed it. It was his own brother. When he was asked what evidence he had to give, or what reason he had to show why the prisoner at the bar ought not to be found guilty, the man didn't say a word. He lifted up his arms. Because in that battle that he helped the Athenians in, he lost both of his hands. And all that was there were two stubs. And he was showing to the court, even though his brother was guilty, and his brother deserved any judgment that came, he simply held his arms up and showed the court his scars. And after he showed the court his scars, this brother was acquitted. He was sent on his way free. Now you know the illustration of what it points to. The wrath of God and the judgment of God demands blood. Demands a blood sacrifice. Sin must be paid for. And when Jesus Christ came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, he had his back ripped open, his beard plucked out, spit into his holy face, a crown of thorns on his brow, and they drove spikes in his hands and in his feet. And today as I speak, right now, on behalf of his children, God the Son, who death could not hold, is standing in the presence of his holy Father. And his Father, you're listening to me, demanded blood and demanded a sacrifice. And as the Lord Jesus Christ pleads on behalf of his children, he's pleading on what he did in our place. And because God the Father sees God the Son, and if you're saved, you're in him, the wrath of God has been abated. It's been nullified. It's been satisfied. And he's saying, because I'm interceding on your behalf, me, the one who died, the one who has the scars to prove it, the one who bled and died for your sin, because I ever live to make intercession for you, I am able to save you to the uttermost. Amen. He'll save you completely. He'll save you totally. Why? Because of what he did on Calvary. Amen. And I'm glad he's able to save me to the uttermost. Right. On the basis of his wounds, we are healed. By his stripes, the word of God says, we are healed. The stripes of God the Son, he took those stripes so I wouldn't have to. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. And he's able to save us to the uttermost. Amen. During the Civil War, there was a young Union soldier who lost his father, an older brother in the war. He went to Washington, D.C. to see if he could get an exemption from military service so he could go back home and help his mother and his sister with the spring planting. When he approached the White House and asked to see the president, he was turned away. Totally disheartened, the soldier sat down on a park bench nearby. A little boy approached him and said, "You look unhappy, soldier. What's wrong?" After the soldier shared his story, the little boy took him by the hand, led him through the back door of the White House, past the guards, and into the president's office himself. And President Lincoln looked up and said, "What can I do for you, Tad?" Tad said, "Daddy, this soldier needs to talk to you." And the soldier was not turned away. May I say something to you? When Jesus completed the work of salvation, he opened the way that we could go directly into the access of God Almighty. Those who have placed their trust in Christ, based upon his shed blood, he takes in one hand and he walks you into the very presence of God. Now, he's God. I know that. He's God the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit. I know it. I don't try to comprehend it. But all I'm saying to you is this. The Son of God sits on the right hand of God the Father. And can't you just hear him say, "Daddy, there's somebody here who needs to talk to you." Because if you're saved, you can approach the Father through the Son. He's able to save them to the uttermost. So no matter where you've been or what you've done, God's able to save you to the uttermost and intercede on your behalf for all eternity. I'm telling you. You know what that means? It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence that right after that is the last time this phrase is used in Jude. If you'll turn up into the book of Jude, we're looking at point number 14. He's able to save him to the uttermost. Let's look at point number 15, which is the final time we'll see this used in the Word of God. And that is Jude verses 24 and 25. Now keep in mind what you've just been taught. Not that you've never known that before, but what has been taught in this message, that he's able to save them to the uttermost based upon his intercession for them because of what he did for them. God the Father is appeased. He's pleased. Now, look at Jude verse 24 and verse 25. "Now unto him," here it is, "that is able," there it is, "to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So the 15th thing we see is he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's a long point, I know it, but good night, don't miss a point of it. In other words, now, does anybody know what's going on in Jude? Jude's the book of apostasy. In other words, we see in verse number 4, there's ungodly men. Verse number 8, there's filthy dreamers. Verse number 10, there's brute beasts. Verse number 12, there's spots. Verse number 12, there's clouds without water. Verse number 12, there's trees twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Verse number 13, there's raging waves foaming out their own shame. Verse number 13, there's wandering stars reserved in the blackness of darkness forever. Verse number 18, there's mockers. Anybody want to live in a time like that? We really are when you think about it. It's a time of spiritual darkness, a time of apostasy. And in the midst of that, in the midst of all of that nonsense, God says he's able to keep you from falling. And he's able to keep you from losing your salvation. And he's able to present you faultless before his holy presence. Now let's look at this just a moment. You know what this breeds? It breeds rest. It breeds peace in the heart and bosom of a child of God. That he's able in Hebrews to save to the uttermost. He's able in Jude, he's able to present you faultless, and he's able to keep you from falling. Now, what's this mean? Let's look at this just a little bit in detail. This means that we can rest in some things. First of all, under this, verse number 24, we can rest in His power. Because the Word of God says He is able to keep you from falling. In other words, you say, aren't we in danger of hell ourselves? If we fall into this terrible evil, aren't we in danger of being overcome in our efforts? No. Let me tell you why. Because you're not keeping yourself. God is keeping you saved. That's divine omnipotence. Will God's children be safe in the days of apostasy? You better believe they'll be safe. Will God's children be able to remain in the sphere of God's blessing? Yes, because God is able to do so. Child of God cannot become an apostate. Did you hear what I just said? A child of God cannot become an apostate. Apostasy is knowing the truth and turning from it without receiving it. Somebody who's received it can never, ever lose their salvation. And they can never fully turn, remember? They can never fully turn their back on the truth of God. It's impossible for a child of God to apostatize. And I'm telling you, the reason it is because I'm not keeping myself. He's keeping me saved. What a stench in God's nostrils. And say, oh, I'm saved by God's grace, but I'm kept by my power. Are you listening to me? Anybody who believes you can lose your salvation, your rest is not in God, it's in you. It has to be. It has to be. And may I remind you that if you have to keep yourself saved, you will not go to heaven. Because one sin is enough to send you to hell. And God said, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of every bit of it. I'm glad I didn't save myself. And I'm glad I don't keep myself saved. Now somebody says, well, you're just teaching you can go out and live any way you want to. Read Hebrews a little bit closer. If you're a true child of God, He'll whip the fire out of you. He'll spank you. You can't go out and live any way you want to live. But I'm glad when I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I'm not wondering, was I good enough today? I'm glad I am resting in the power of God. He's keeping me saved. You know, it's interesting, in verse number 24, the word keep. He didn't use the word tereo. And I don't go back to the original language a lot from the pulpit here. I do it in my study a lot. But the word tereo means to watch over or care for. But he didn't use that word. He used the word philosso. What that word means is to watch and guard in the case of attack. Powerful. You know what that tells me? Apostasy, attacking you, attacking you, attacking you. But God's watching you. God's guarding you. And He's keeping you from falling. Amen. That's a powerful teaching right there. That's the Word of God. God is able to keep us from falling even under attack. What security? What security that the believer has? God's able to keep us from falling in the fatal error that damns us to hell. In the midst of days of apostasy, we need not fear. He's able to keep us. I'm telling you, you didn't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. God saved you. He'll keep you. And you're in good hands if you're saved. Amen. You can rest in His power. Secondly, you can rest in His promise. Now, I'm going to show you another powerful word. Verse number 24. Unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. And to present you, what's that next word? Faultless. Before the presence of His glory, exceeding joy. Now, that's contrary to what a lot of people believe and imagine that their meeting with God is going to be like. You might think that meeting a holy God would be a frightening experience. And it ought to bring some fear to your heart, I'll be honest with you. Reverence. But for a child of God, listen to me, please. There's no need to fear. Let me tell you why. Because when He sees you, you're going to be faultless. You know what that word faultless means? See if this brings back any thoughts from the Scripture. It means without blemish. Remember the Old Testament? You bring your offering, it must be without blemish. Without blemish, it must be perfect.
no fault with it. Every Old Testament sacrifice was pointing to who? The Lamb of God. Without blemish, without spot, perfect. Now how can it be that we who know we've got blemishes, you've got blemishes all over you, so do I. How can it be that when God the Father sees us that eternal day, when we stand before Him, how can it be that when He looks at us, He sees no blemishes? We're faultless. We're without fault. How is it possible? It's only possible, again, because that's why Christ died. He was the sinless Lamb of God. He was without blemish. He had no mistakes. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God. And He went and marched to the cross of Calvary, and God the Father looked down and He saw perfection. He saw no blemishes. He saw faultlessness. And that sinless, perfect, faultless sacrifice laid His life down, and He died for our sin, but He was raised again for our justification. And we who are saved have been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ, the faultless sacrifice of God. So when He sees us, He does not see our blemishes. He sees the shed blood of Christ and its perfectness. It's without blemish. It's faultless. And you've been washed in it. You've been cleansed by it. And He doesn't see your sin. He sees the Savior. That is the promise that a child of God has. That's why He's able to present you faultless, unblemished, without blame. You know what the devil says? One of the names of the devil is what? The accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Look what they did. Look what they did. Look what they did. Look what they did. They don't deserve it. They deserve to burn. They deserve this. And the Holy Lamb of God intercedes. And He steps into the presence of His Father and says, I know you demand a sacrifice. I've been there. I am that sacrifice. Amen. Not that God the Father has to be told something. I'm just trying to give you something that you can grab onto. And He says, see that one down there that the devil's pointing at and saying he needs to burn? Are you listening to me? Father, He's accepted me. And because He's accepted me, He's no longer faulty. He's faultless. He's without blemish. And the reason He's without blemish is because I am and He's in me. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That may not hit you for 10 years. But when it hits you, there's something inside you. If you're saved, there's something inside you that says, man, that's good right there. That's good. That ought to let you go, I am going to make it on it. If you've trusted Christ, you're going to make it, whether you know it or not. Let me tell you why. Because He's able. He's able to present you faultless. He's able to keep you from falling. The Word of God tells us back in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. You don't need to turn to it. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Gave Himself for it. Why? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If you're saved tonight, you're perfect. Not in yourself. But when God the Father looks at you, He doesn't see your sin. He sees the sinless Son of God who you have accepted. And He's in you. And you're in Him. And you'll never be divided. And because of that, He is able to keep you from falling. Let me tell you why you'll never fall. Because the Lord will never fall. And you're in Him. If you're saved. If you're saved. Let me ask you a question. Why in the world would somebody say no to that? How in this world would somebody say, I'd rather burn than take that right there? But you want me to tell you something? There's hundreds and thousands of people in this area who do not know Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, shame on me. Start right here. Shame on me for not giving that story out more. That when God sees you, He sees one of two things. He either sees you are full of blemishes or you're without blemish. And if you're without blemish, you're going to heaven. If you're full of blemishes, you're going to hell. But Jesus came so you can go to heaven. He's able to do this. Now, I don't think there's any more fitting way to end this whole study on He is able. I don't even know what part this is. This might be part 30. I don't know. We've been on it a long time. I'm exaggerating. I do that every now and then. But when you think about what's been said about He is able, all of it, He is able, He is able, He is able, He is able, He is able. And when you think about these final two points here, specifically the last point, that He's able to present you faultless, and He's able to keep you from falling, no wonder that the little epistle of Jude would end the way it did. He's gone through apostasy. He's saying all these things are here. But now unto Him who's able to keep you from falling and presents you faultless in the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Verse number 25, Jude. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You know, I feel like Jude tonight. When I realize that the Lord will keep me from falling and present me faultless, I want to join Him in praising God the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know the Lord deserves our praise. All glorious He is. The sum of all of His attributes, all majesty is His. This speaks of His greatness, splendor, and dignity. All dominion is His, this verse says. That speaks of His right to rule over the world. All power is His. That designates His authority to rule, His ability to do anything. We should praise Him for what He's done in our life. So what does Jude say to the believer living in the age of apostasy? By the way, if you don't think we're there, you've got problems. We're in the same age. Apostasy. Remember, don't be surprised. God said apostasy would come. But listen to me. Reach out to the people who are in danger of hell. But rest. Don't fear. Because even though people are turning away from Him, turning away, we who've trusted Him, He's able to keep us from falling. And He's able to present us faultless. Therefore, our response should be, praise God for what He's done in our lives. There's a little chorus to end this little thing on He is able. If you know, you can sing it with me. By the way, where would we be without that little phrase, He is able? See, when you realize that your salvation rests upon Him completely, that it's not only provided by Him, but it's protected by Him. He's the one that saves you. He's the one that keeps you. He's the one that secures you. He's the one that someday will allow you to stand before Him and you're faultless. When you see that, your heart begins to say, man, what can I do for Him? What can I do for Him? What can I do for Him? Brother Gary's daddy made a statement to me in the hospital. And I can't get away from it, Brother Gary. He's laying there. He had a heart catheterization, by the way, just in case you didn't know that. Doing well, doing fine back home now. I think it was when he was coming down here and he realized he's going to have to see me, so his heart started skipping beats on him or something. Just kidding. When I saw him after the catheterization, he was doing well and cutting up, just
just himself, you know. He looked at me and made this statement. I'm paraphrasing, but he said this. He said, Jody, he said, I'm 81 years old. And he said, when you get my age and you look back, the only thing you can think about is, I wish I'd have done more. I can't get away from that statement. Now, that doesn't mean that we beat ourselves up. You understand what I'm saying? But you know what it means? I was talking to my wife. There is no way that we can repay God. By the way, he didn't ask for your repayment because it's something that you can never attain. But you know what we can do? Are you listening? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And constantly do a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. You say, Jody, I can't do as much as I used to. Then in your prayer life, do a little bit more. On the telephone, call a little bit more. If you can get out and shake the bushes, instead of shaking two, shake three. If you're shaking three, shake five. After all, doesn't he deserve it? And one day when we see him and we stand before him faultless, without blemish, and we realize this is not what I did. This is all because of you. I'll guarantee you nobody will be saying, boy, I hit it out of the ballpark, didn't I? I don't know about you, but in my spirit, I'm humbled that God would do that for me. And how little I do for him. May God light a fire in our hearts to where we're not serving out of duty. We're not serving to ease our conscience. But we're serving out of gratitude. Amen. You serve out of gratitude, you'll never quit. If you ever quit, you've lost sight of what he's done for you. And may God remind us that he's able to keep you from falling, presents you faultless, and save you to the uttermost. Based on his intercession, made possible by his sacrifice. What a powerful doctrine tonight. And may God drive it on our hearts. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight. Thank you for listening well. Our Father, would you help us tonight to do what you'd have us to do, to be what you'd have us to be. Oh, thank you tonight that you're able. Thank you for it. Brother Gary, what I want you to sing tonight, if you wouldn't mind to do this, if you know that little chorus, he's able. He's able, I know he's able. I meant to sing that and I forgot to do it. Just that chorus. And maybe tonight, maybe you're here tonight, they're beginning to play through something here. Just play through something. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I came to the service and I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. You said tonight that God wants to make me faultless. He wants to make me without blemish. Let me explain what that means. That doesn't mean that if you get saved, you're going to be perfect from that point on. No, I still sin every day of my life. The only difference is I'm a saved sinner. And when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees the shed blood of Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ. Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God in my seat has visited me. He's reminded me tonight about what he's done for me. And in my heart, I'm feeling like you're feeling. I've done so little for him. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to go more. I want to pray more. I want to do more of what God wants me to do. After all, it's Him who's given me the opportunity to do it in the first place. Maybe in just a moment, whenever we stand, in just a moment, God's speaking to you. Would you leave your place and come? If you need to be saved, you come. Let us take a Bible. If you need to come, just say, God, help me to do more. Maybe you're burdened tonight because God's just passed by your heart, blessing your soul and what He's done for you. And you just want to come and say, God, thank you. Again, thank you for what you've done. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin the singing. God's speaking to you. You need Jesus, you come. You want to come thank Him, you come. You want to come say, God, help me do more, you come. You want to get busy in this church, you come. You let us know. We'll put you to work, whatever it is. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do it? Come on. Come on now. He's able to save you. If you're saved, He's able to keep you. If you're hurting, He's able to help you. If you're on the mountaintop, He's able to keep you there. If you're in the valley, He's able to walk with you through it. Doesn't matter. Just apply it where you are. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able. You glad that's true tonight? Let's sing that chorus together. He's able, He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able, I know. Set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and He calls the blind to see. He's able, He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Amen. I'm glad He is. Doubt about it. Preacher, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, and I would say that you would say, preacher, that He's able tonight. Amen. No doubt about it. Preacher, if you'll dismiss us, sir, please.
Father, we thank you tonight that you're able to do abundantly above that which we can ask you to think. Thank you, Father, you said, I'll never leave, never, never leave you, nor forsake you. Lord, thank you that your children will make it by the grace of God. You are able. Our God is able. Lord, I pray that you meet every need of every heart here. Encourage us in the things of the Lord. Help us, Lord, in this day of apostasy to know that He's able to keep us from falling. Lord, help us just keep our eyes on the Lord and stay in the book and stay right with God. Do His precious will until He calls us home. I pray, Lord, if somebody here has a burden tonight or a care, that care on me. May Lord know that you're able to help us with all the problems that come our way down through life. And bless now, I pray this church, every member of this church, I pray to keep us true to you Do you come for us in there? Dismiss us now with our blessing.